Hi everyone, I'm Monica. I'm a compulsive eater. Grateful to be here with y'all. I always have to kind of just take a deep breath and acknowledge that, I still get nervous when I see that number going higher. It's just who I am. And that, I can always just I always try to go back to your words, not mine, higher power. This isn't about Monica. I used to think it was always the Monica show, and I had to show up as the Monica show. And grateful today I don't have to. Just my experience, strength, and hope. So thanks for the invitation to be here. I don't think I've ever been to this meeting, so. What was it like, just to qualify? I came in the rooms almost 12 years ago, and before that, I was about 200 pounds heavier than I am now. I'm 4'11", so that was quite a challenge, just a physical challenge for me in life. It was very evident to everyone but Monica that I had a real problem. I growing up, if I go back, to the why, I'm grateful I don't have to know the why. When I started hearing the reason for the disease is unimportant, what deserves my attention is that there's a solution. So, but I know that I come from a long line of addiction, just general addiction in my family. And my family split up very early on, and so it was really important to me that you not know that I was having any problems. And so that kind of fueled everything I did when I was younger. I'm great. I'm doing great. Look at how well I do everything, and don't notice that I also can't stop shoveling food in my mouth. Like those, my food wire and my I'm okay wire got very crossed up. And I also come from a long line of very talented dieters. And I was never that talented dieter. So I was put on a diet very early, failed multiple times, as many of us have. Was very aware of what bodies should look like, and mine never looked that way. So I just was that not enough, and had a lot of time by myself. And so food became very comfortable, right? It became more and more important. And as it says in the literature, all the things that I thought were important to me became less and less important, and food became more and more important. And so I just, as my friends, as this hinge just got better and better, just stronger and stronger. And so, yeah, that was like my childhood. Adolescence, it was all about showing up as doing great, feeling like I wasn't a part of any group, but dabbling in all groups and becoming this shapeshifter. What do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be? Okay, let me be that. And never ever feeling enough. It's like that, I was the most important piece of shit in the world. That was me everywhere I went. And I just progressively put weight on. I might have a moment of success in a diet, but never for very long. I had a family that was just suck it up, right? Come on, just try harder. And so that just was a bigger hammer. I can't. Why can't I? I couldn't do it for myself as I got older. I couldn't do it for my kid. I couldn't do it. And so it was such a relief to walk into the rooms and hear this is not a moral issue. This, you have a disease, Monica. And whew, wow, because that was the fuel for me. Just gosh, Monica, why don't you just? And so that's all I spewed to the world, especially to my kid. Why don't you just whatever, fill in the blank? That was my message to everyone. And it was, I was a director, and if you all would just listen and do what I'm telling you to do, this all would go fine. But you're not listening, so you are the reason I'm miserable. And I need to, well, I don't like to say need to eat, because I ate because I was a compulsive eater. 24 hours a day, if you ask me what's a good idea to do right now, I would say eat. It was just what I did because I was a compulsive overeater. Eating was what I did. It was no longer a pleasure. It did not give me pleasure. It was a command. I ate, I'd wake up eating and I didn't know I had started. It was just constant. And my body was tired, 200 extra pounds on my frame. Everything was given out, and I was clinically depressed because of sleep apnea, and my kid was running from me, and I hated my job. And so I needed hope. I remember crying to a friend, which I didn't do very often, saying, I need some hope. I got none, and so we were going to find the right diet, and I had tried every one. I failed at every single possible pill, almost surgery, diet, pain, weight, all of those. Miserable fail every time. Epic. I lost 100 pounds and I gained it back, and I swear to God, 36 minutes. It was so fast. And so I went to an OA meeting. I'd heard about OA. It was interesting. When I was 19, I was overseas as a student, and I went in for an ear infection, and the doctor pushed a card over to me, and I looked at it and it said OA, and I was furious because I had an ear infection and I hurt, and this isn't about my weight. And I could not look at it back then. I just threw it in the trash as soon as I walked out the door, you know. And today I'm grateful for that doctor. I didn't listen. I wasn't ready, but that was the first time I ever heard of OA. And then, you know, 18, fast forward to when I'm 45, and I say, okay, there's nothing else that's working. I'll take a peek. And so I remember sitting, I've said this, well, you all haven't, I sitting in the parking lot and saying, man, if they are fat, they do not have the answer. And if they are skinny, they're not sick. I'm just ready for them to, ready for it all to fail, because everything had, and don't you know, it's because I'm broken. I'm missing some pieces that everybody else in the world has. I mean, that's really what it was. I thought everybody, and it's, you know, everybody had this rule. I didn't get all the things, right? I didn't get that memo. And so, but you know, thank goodness my higher power got through to me that day, and I walked in and I never walked out. Like, I sat there and I listened, and I didn't understand everything. And I remember, I see the timer going. It's not going to be an out loud timer. That's my altogether time. Sorry to interrupt. That 11:23 is what I have left, right? Or something. Okay. I have to look at that. Yes. So I walked in. I didn't want to say anything. I remember at newcomers, someone leaned over to me and asked if I wanted to share. I said, absolutely not. But I just kept going to every meeting in my area. I'm in Santa Cruz.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. I'm just gonna, I just knew I needed to go back, because it happened that day I was there, they're reading about all the things we do with food. I think it's in the second step. I'm not sure of the 12 and 12, you know, rotten, stolen, whatever, all the things I never told anyone that I did. And it was in the literature. So I knew, like, you guys know me. All these secrets I keep about food, you actually do them too. And so I could stay and I could listen, and I could learn and shut up. That was not my talent. I was really good at, like I said, if you would just. And what I learned early on was, it's not about advice. It's not about having the right answer. It's just about listening and doing what I'm asked to do. Again, not my strong suit. I'm a teacher. I like to help people. Like, all this control and fix was under this cape of helping. It was never helping. Most of the time, it was not. It was controlling. So I stayed in that room. I went back to that specific room like 3 days a week, but I went to every meeting I could find. I went out of the area, and I just started talking and connecting. And I'd never been honest with anybody in my life. And I told people about what I ate, and I told people about how I felt, and I cried. And I call people and say, I'm crying over, I don't know if I'm crying over this specific food that I'm never going to eat again. That's crazy. And the person saying, oh, are you going to eat it today? No. Okay, let's just don't eat it today. And you can cry. Anyway, you know, like, just getting to that before I even work the steps, just to get that I can show up with you and I can be me. And you can be you. Because I was also good at saying what was wrong with you. So I remember looking around the room saying, oh, we could not connect. You're not going to teach me anything. What do you know? And then I had to just, like, let it go, because I don't know how my higher power is going to show up today. I don't know who's going to tell me what I need to hear to stay alive. And you're like, so gratefully now, you know, I consider the people in these rooms some of my closest friends, and that I get to learn how to just put that down. Judgment, doesn't serve me. And so once I finally asked for a sponsor, the second one, the first one, I asked for someone who wasn't going to hold me accountable at all. And so then I got an opportunity to get another sponsor, and started working the steps, and got first step, you know, powerlessness. That was easy for me. My life's unmanageable. Yes. And I thought I had a relationship with a higher power, but clearly I didn't think that higher power could help me with my food. And so I had to redefine my higher power. And I have, and it morphs constantly. But what I know is I needed a higher power that I could talk to the way I need to talk to them. They could talk to me the way that I could hear them. It, however, it doesn't care. And it's been a journey of surrendering all of it, you know, not just character defects, but every day, people, places, and things, you know, that third step, I give my will and my life and my weight and my boss and my kid and my dog and my house over to the care of God as I understand God. So I was just going to read a little bit. I was reading this morning in the story in the big book, the story is the housewife who drank at home, but this spoke to me this morning because I think it captures kind of where I am in, you know, in my path and what has made a difference to me in staying in these rooms for almost 12 years, and continuing to feel better. You know, I will back up. Before COVID hit, I was in recovery. I went to our local meetings and I thought, wow, you know, I've gotten all the pieces. And then I started to do Zoom and I hit a lot of big book meetings, which there weren't a lot in my area. And my recovery just went to a whole nother level. I love the big book. I didn't know all the lessons for me that were in it. And I'm grateful to Zoom and to have this opportunity to keep on going deeper with everybody and just feeling very grateful. And in the story, the person said, I like this person in the meeting likes AA, but they don't like this whole surrender thing. And so this is that person's thought. And it really spoke to me this morning. My heavens, surrender has meant the ability to run my home, to face my responsibilities as they should be faced, to take life as it comes to me day by day and work my problems out. That's what surrender has meant to me. I'm going to translate the words. I surrendered once to food and I couldn't do these things. Since I gave my will over to OA, and I'm going to add in my higher power, whatever OA has wanted of me, I've tried to do to the best of my ability. When I'm asked to go out on a call, I go. I'm not going. OA is leading me there and gives me the direction into a way of life without needing excess food. That life for me is lived one day at a time, letting the problems of the future rest with the future. When the time comes to solve them, God will give me the strength for that day. And that is my life today. You know, I wake up, I check in with God, I ask God to direct my thinking, I give anything I need to my God box, like what am I fearing today? Who am I pissed at today? Or whatever. Like right now, work feels really hard. And I recognize I want to find commiserators and I want to get into self-pity. So whoop, let's check in with that. And the celebrations I give to God too, the things that I would say, oh, good job, you, Monica. Like, no. Let's remind ourselves it wasn't us today. And what I love about this is I stay in today. I can future trip, as I'm sure some of you might be able to relate to, and that I don't, you know, staying in today, and that it's not up to me to solve the problems. It's up to me to get my directions from my higher power and do what I'm asked to do, but I don't have to, you know, like I can ask God for my next right step and everything I need to take that step in it. And I read that and I read that over and over again. Whatever I need, God. I'm gonna need some help. There's someone in a meeting I go to. She says, "Cover me, God. I'm going in," and that's what I need. All the steps or all the things, and that when that comes, whatever it is, I don't have to be there today. You know, is it happening today? Nope. Am I safe today? Yep. And I was in a meeting this morning where someone had 36 years. She was celebrating a birthday, and that's half of her life. And suddenly, my voice in my head said, "Man, I'm gonna have to be here till I'm 90 to be here half my life. That's unfair." And I was like, "Shit, Monica, 24 hours. That's all anyone's guaranteed. Keep like my brain will still do that. That's not fair. Whatever, Monica. Like, get over yourself, you know." So that's what this program does. It lets me
Just a
catch that.
reminder.
Thank you. I could ruminate right there with that unfair. One of the things I've worked a lot with my sponsor and my steps is sometimes it's hard for me to celebrate for other people because I instantly go to, well, that's not fair for me because I can't do that. I didn't get to do that. I don't have the money to do that. Like a lot of self-pity, judgment, non-acceptance, all of that. And through the steps, I recognize it. Hey, I'm there. You know, a quick jump is let's get some gratitude. Let's make an outreach call. Let's write something down. You know, page 417, my sponsor would say, read it beginning and the end of the day and any time in between because you are not accepting something. And I was like, I'm not, you know, I'm I'm restless. Something's going on. And so that's that, this, I always like to try. This morning, a friend called me and told me she got a puppy. Well, I've watched her in my brain. You can't manage your own life. Why do you have a puppy? So I called someone. I said, I talked to crazy. I said, I got no business. I say nothing, nothing except for, hey, sending you good thoughts as you transition this new person, this new animal into your family. But it was hard. So I just call someone again. I still am going to say nothing because that's that advice. That's kind of that self-righteous that I'm going to tell you how to do it right. Psh, no. But I can also say 12 years in, I still do it. So, hey, here I am. I have said nothing. I will continue to say safe places. I'm, commit. I'm not saying anything to her for the next 24 hours unless it's support and love, because that's my job. And yeah, that's my job. And to love people in my life just as they are, which is hard with an old father who's not very happy about life and a child who does things the way they want to do it. But I also know that I had no relationship with that child before recovery. And today, my heart bursts with the human he's evolving into. And so I got to find my hands-off love. And how can I be of service in a way that's not codependent and not, I'm not trying to do it for you. So today, that's what helps me. I have this 10-minute chip, but I used to think, it used to be I won't eat for 10 minutes. But what I know today is 10 minutes can I can do a load of laundry, get it started in 10 minutes. I can make my bed in 10 minutes. I can walk the dog, which is the time I'm that sacred pause time I might not need. I mean, I might need not just to not eat, but to not make that stupid comment, not to put my hands on something that it doesn't belong to, not to settle myself into fear. What I know today is, do I get afraid? Absolutely. Absolutely, I get afraid. Do I get resentful? Absolutely. But because I have tools and steps, as I said, I don't have to set up camp there. I used to set up camp and just, this is where I'm staying. I'm pissed and I'm going to sit right here and stay here. And what I know today is that's not a luxury that I can take. That will kill me. I have a disease that would love me dead. That's its first choice, but it wouldn't mind miserable. And I know that my disease gets worse, never better. If I decide that I can handle this on my own, I will never eat like a normal person. I've done enough research. I know it to be true. If I eat one of you, I'll want a million of you. So I don't eat you at all. There are foods that are my alcoholic food that I absolutely cannot touch. There's behavior I cannot do. And that's my agreement with my higher power. Someone in the room told me I always know where my last bite is before I take my first bite. And if that's a shaky last bite, I pause and I say, God, is there something off about this last bite right here? Because volume is part of my disease. So anyways, just grateful to have this program, to have the steps, to have fellows like you that get me and that I get you and that I can be honest with and support, and you can support me, and that I'm not in it alone, and that it's only one day at a time. That's all I gotta do is one day at a time. So I think that says I'm almost out of time, and that I do. Okay. Well,
You
I'm
still have
gonna
a minute and a half.
just grateful to be here, and thank you all for inviting me. And yeah, I pass.